Welcome to the Grounds for Investing podcast, where each episode we explore the business of investing with purpose so that hopefully you can make a difference for the investments you make. I'm your host, Ray, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Lucy. Lucy, how are you?
Very good, Ray. Thanks for joining us today. In the last episode, we talked to Hannah, who is the CEO of Social Enterprise Finance Australia, about what impact investing is and what returns you could expect from impact investing. Hopefully, we've already convinced you that impact investing is the way to go. Today, we've got our first Impact Investing Basics episode. This is going to be a series where we explore all the basics of impact investing. How do you actually do it? And hopefully help you get started on your journey. In this episode, me and Ray are going to talk about the investing platforms available and some of our recommendations based on our own experience. Another question that a lot of people have is probably how much money do you need to start impact investing or investing in general? So we'll talk about that too. We'll also be breaking down some of the factors to look out for before choosing an impact investment, and at the end, some expectations about the returns and risks before impact investing.
Yeah, we're really excited to have our very first episode on impact investing basics. And I think hopefully you find this as useful as we do. And let's get right into it. So Lucy, why don't we start off with, let's talk about the platforms that are available to young investors out there in Australia looking to get involved. Mm-hmm. So one thing, I guess, as a pretty lazy investor myself, you know, we're both looking at what are the easiest ways to get started. And so one way was Super, right?
Yeah. I think, as you said, it's probably one of the first way and easiest way perhaps to impact invest. So if you're located here in Australia, when you start working, your employer will ask you what super provider you want to go with, or they will give you some recommendations and pick one for you. Then every month, they will allocate a certain percentage of your salary to the super. So this money is then invested by the super, and the idea is when you retire and no longer receive an income, you can access your superannuation. So we're talking a really long time frame here, potentially decades. A pretty large portion of your money will be with your super. So if you want to make sure that your money is invested somewhere towards creating a positive impact that you want, you can have a look at some super that focus on ethical investment or whatever cause it is that interests you. It could be climate change in particular or gender equality. An example that I like to give is Australian Ethical. The reason is I recently had to write a report to look at their 2019 sustainability report for my master's degree, and I found them quite fascinating. And for those of you who's not familiar with a sustainability report is, unlike an annual report that usually report the financial performance of a company, a sustainability report usually highlights the economic, environmental, and social impact side of a company's activities. But anyway, back to Australian Ethical. They invest in companies that contribute towards sustainability and positive outcomes, and they also exclude investments that mine fossil fuels, manufacture weapons, and so on. So by choosing a super that focuses on ethical investments, you can contribute to making a positive impact. One thing to know is that different super have different rates that they will charge for their management fees. So do your own research and choose whatever that works the best for you. Another way to impact investing, probably the most common way, is through investing your money through share market. So Ray, do you want to carry away?
Yep. So when it comes to the share market, I might go on a bit of a spiel here. But yeah, so for you guys out there who aren't too familiar with the share market, it's essentially in Australia, we have the Australian Stock Exchange or the ASX. And in the US, there's say the S&P 500, the NASDAQ. And so they're essentially a platform or an index where publicly listed companies are freely available for trade by everyday investors like you and me. And so when it comes to investing in share markets, typically you would go through a what's known as a brokerage platform. So one platform that I'm particularly fond of is CommSec, which is run by CBA. So CommSec offers trading from as little as $10 brokerage for investment amounts as little or as much as you want. And they also offer, I guess, a wide variety of research tools, which I found really useful. There's also a huge array of other platforms out there. So, for example, the other big four banks all have their own brokerage platforms. A new one that we're looking into right now is called eToro. So, for example, if you're looking to invest in stocks listed in the US, brokerage-free, eToro is a great option. eToro also gives you the ability to invest in more exotic investments. So, for example, as someone who drinks a lot of coffee, I was really excited to find out that eToro actually allows you to trade in coca as a commodity on the platform. So if you're open-minded about trying out, I guess, a little more risky or unusual investments, eToro is definitely a great place to start. Now, when it comes to investing on the share market, there's sort of two main approaches, which is one, a passive approach, and two, an active approach. So a passive approach would be one typically that you could do via ETFs or exchange-traded funds. Now, exchange-traded funds are essentially a vehicle that holds a basket or a handful of companies, and then by buying one ETF, you're essentially able to hold a whole basket of companies with just one investment. And so in that way, it really simplifies the investment process. And these ETFs are typically managed by professionals. And so it's a great way to really get started investing in the share market if you're not too familiar around what specific companies you want to invest in or about looking into financial reports and understanding technicals when it comes to picking the right company. And so they're a great passive trading option. And so some examples include the Australian Sustainability Leaders ETF, or FAIR, which is run by BetaShares. And now these ETFs typically have an average management fee of around 0.5%. On the other hand, if you're interested in being a more active investor, share markets also offer a unique opportunity to invest in publicly listed companies that are either involved directly in the impact investing space, such as Australian Ethical Investments, or I guess you can actively invest in companies through the application of both positive and negative screens. So, for example, if you wanted to avoid investing in tobacco companies, you could actively screen out companies involved in this industry and only, I guess, invest in companies that aren't involved. And really the first step when it comes to investing in the share market is to create a watch list based on both your financial and impact investment goals. And not only that, but continue to monitor and update this watch list over time. And so I guess that's a bit of a high level overview of the share market. I think personally, I quite like it just because it gives you that flexibility in terms of if you want to invest passively, you can go buy ETFs. And if you prefer to take a more active approach towards impact investing and invest directly in companies that align with your impact investment goals, you also have that option available to you as well. And one of the best things is that there's no minimum purchase price or maximum purchase amount that you have to, I guess, follow by when it comes to investing in the share market. So you can literally go out and buy one ETF for $8. We don't suggest you do that because the brokerage is already $10. So you're unlikely to make a return from that, but it does give you that flexibility there. Mm-hmm. So share markets are an awesome thing, but there are also quite a number of other platforms available to you if you are looking to impact invest. So mm-hmm. one of those is, I guess, investing directly in managed funds. Mm-hmm. So Lucy, I know you were looking into open source.
Yeah. So this is, again, more of a passive approach if you're looking into investing through managed funds. So this is more for people that don't have too much time to do the research and invest in the companies yourself, you can choose a managed fund. So how it works is that you sign up with a managed fund and they will have professionals that will invest your money for you. So now here's the interesting part. So there are more and more platforms nowadays that allow you to select your investment portfolios that will reflect your values and take out the companies or industries that you don't want to get involved in. So you can look for funds that have an investing approach that matches with what you want.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, I think managed funds do offer a unique opportunity for you to invest your money in a way that you get exposure to good quality companies and that it's actually being managed by professionals. And so, you know, if you're a beginner, that's always a great option. And one other rather interesting approach that we found to impact investing is to go through what's known as crowdfunding platforms. So crowdfunding platforms, for example, such as Equitize, allow you to essentially, as a retail investor, actively invest directly in startups, ideas, and entrepreneurs that reflect your impact investing goals. So for example, if you wanted to invest in a company that promotes impact investing itself, there's actually a company called Goodmans, which we found on the Equitize platform, in which you can invest directly in. And so these companies are often, I guess, earlier stage than you would otherwise get as those, say, in the managed funds or listed on the share market. So crowdfunding platforms like Equitize do offer quite a bit of flexibility when it comes to the amount that you have to invest. So minimum investments typically start around $50 and then max out at around $10,000 per opportunity or company that you want to invest in. And the best part is they don't actually charge retail investors any fees for the investment. And so you're probably wondering, you know, what the difference is between, say, crowdfunding and, say, managed funds and share markets and super is. Well, when it comes to making a return, as an investor in a crowdfunded company, you usually make a profit when either the company is acquired, pays a dividend, or publicly lists on a share market via an IPO. So rather than, say, watching, I guess, waiting for the share price to go up, you would typically, as a crowdfunding investor, wait for one of those events to occur. And so one really good example of a company that's very successfully taken advantage of crowdfunding is Zinja, which is, I believe, one of Australia's biggest neobanks and definitely a startup to look out for. So that's crowdfunding in a nutshell. So it's a bit more hands-on than some of the other approaches. And I guess you would really need to have confidence in the idea and the business before investing in it via a crowdfunding platform. That's, I guess, a bit of an overview on some of the platforms that are available out there to allow you to get involved with the impact investing side of things. So, Lucy, so you and I both, we're both uni students and money is obviously a big consideration for us and I assume for many young investors out there. Mm-hmm. So one big topic is around how much money do you really, I guess, need to actually get started mm-hmm. on impact investing?
I think my personal advice first is to never invest more than you can afford to lose. This is super important, figuring out, are you actually ready to invest? I know a lot of people want to start investing, but then when they actually have a look at their financial position, they realize that they're not really in a good spot. They're not in a place where they are able to start investing. So investing works really well at making you money if you can invest money for really long term, with the money that you don't need and just leave it there for a really long period of time. And if the money that you invest are something that you really are relying on, say paying your bills or your rent, then, you know, something might come up and then you suddenly have to like sell your investment just to pay your bills. And that's not really the best scenario.
Yeah, agreed. So definitely when it comes to investing, it's important to always be careful about how much you invest. You never want to get into a situation where you're having to take money out of your investments to then get by day to day.
Mm-hmm.
And touching on another aspect of the money side of things is that it's, you know, one approach that I found quite useful and that I've used for a while is to actually invest paycheck to paycheck. So what I mean by that is not obviously taking your entire paycheck every time and putting it into, you know, shares or ETFs, but setting maybe a percentage amount or a fixed amount that you plan to invest from every paycheck. So say if my paycheck's $1,000, I'm going to invest $100 of every paycheck that I receive into the share market. And so there are a few benefits with this approach is that one, it allows you to take advantage of a concept known as dollar cost averaging. So essentially that means you're able to, you're purchasing the same, say, for example, a share or ETF multiple times over a time period. And then because you're buying it frequently, you're able to average out that cost over time. And so, for example, if the share price goes down after your initial purchase of that ETF, you're actually able to buy more shares of that ETF with the same amount of money because it's now worth less per share. And so over time, that allows you to really average out your costs. And not only that, but by setting a fixed amount that you invest for a fixed period of time, every paycheck, this allows for a more disciplined approach to investing where you're really removing the emotional side of it and having to think. And, you know, obviously this is something that I've struggled with myself is that oftentimes with investments in general, not only impact investments, is that it can be a very emotional experience. Sometimes the share market will go up, other times it will crash. And so it can be often, you know, tempting to say sell out when it's going down or buy in when it's going up. And so if you stick to, say, a dollar cost averaging approach, it really helps to take the emotion out of the equation. Awesome. So that's just a bit about actually figuring out how much to invest in the market. But there are, before you actually make an impact investment, there's a lot of factors to consider.
Mm-hmm.
So we were looking through quite a few and we tried to get a list of some of the more relevant ones or more important ones. And so Lucy, I know you were looking into negative screens and exclusion factors.
Yeah, I think one of the first two things and probably one of the easier things you can look for when it comes to impact investing is, yeah, like you said, first, exclusion factors, and second is ESG score. So what an exclusion factor is, when you're choosing companies to invest in, you basically exclude the ones that have interest in the areas that you want to be involved in. So it could be weapons, animal testing, tobacco, and so on, so that you can ensure that your investments don't contribute to these industries. And what ESG score is, it's a metric that measures a company's environmental and social practices and its governance. So I will give an example for each of them. Environmental criteria could be looking at companies' energy use, waste and pollution. Social could be how the company manages its relationships with its employees, suppliers, customers, how the company's working conditions are for its employees, and how does the company contribute to, say, local communities. And governments will be looking at a company's leadership, how transparent the information is, and what rights do shareholders have. So you can have a look at how a company's ESG score fits with the values that are important to you. You can find out about a company's ESG score very easily from sources like Yahoo Finance or just Google it. One thing to mention is that not all companies provide an ESG score. Generally, larger companies will have it available, but you can use what ESG score measures, I guess, as a framework and guidance to look for news that's related in the topics that you care about when you do your research for a company.
Yeah, awesome. So in the past, I've looked at ESG scores for some of the investments that I've made. And it's really quite interesting that, for example, a lot of the tech companies out there have very good environmental scores. But when it comes to, say, the social governance side of things, it's more of a mixed bag. I'm thinking of Wirecard here, which if you haven't seen our recent post on our Instagram account on Wirecard, we do suggest you go check that out to find out a bit more about the times when impact investing doesn't work out so well. And I think when it comes to impact investing and investing in general, a very, very big consideration is around the areas of risk, financial return, and your investing time frame. Now, when it comes to these three concepts, it's very important, and we can't stress this enough, to set goals for financial return, impact objectives, as well as understanding your risk appetite before you make any investment. Because I guess these three factors will really largely determine what kind of impact investments you're able to make and that align with your objectives. And so once you've set these goals, it's important to also set ways in which you look at measuring and benchmarking your investments in terms of risk, financial return, and impact. So, for example, when it comes to risk, it's important to consider both systematic and unsystematic risk for any investment you make. So what we mean by that is, for example, systematic risk would be, taking a recent example, the impact of COVID-19. So if you guys have been following the news, you would have noticed that global share markets all around the world were negatively affected by the onset of the pandemic back in March and April. And so, you know, that's a risk that is systematic because it affects the entire asset class. Whereas, say, something that would be an unsystematic risk is a particular risk that affects only one company. So, for example, if a given company is running low on cash and having solvency issues, or if they're having governance issues, that would be an unsystematic risk. And before you make any investment or impact investment, it's important to consider both the systematic and unsystematic risks that your investment is exposed to. Now, when it comes to monitoring and measuring return, so let's start with financial return. So financial return is a bit easier to sort of monitor, measure, and benchmark just because there are a lot of established frameworks and options out there. So one approach you can take is looking at the compound annual growth rate of a given investment. So this will allow you to compare how an investment has grown or performed over a given time period with any other, say, if you're comparing one share to another share, as long as the time frame is the same. And then on the other hand, when it comes to measuring impact, say the social, environmental, or governance impact of a particular investment, this has, I guess, been an area that has developed a lot over the past few years. And relative to measuring financial return, it has still a long way to go. One approach is, as I guess we mentioned before, is using ESG scores to understand how a company is performing in terms of its environmental, social, and governance impact. There are also quite a few other options out there. So one is the Impact Reporting Investment Standards, or IRIS, which is a freely available catalog of metrics for describing social and financial impact that's aligned to the UN SDGs. And another option is to also look into the sustainability reports that are published by the companies themselves. So quite a few companies and a growing number of companies these days publish these sustainability reports alongside their financial reports. And they give you a bit of an insight into how the company is performing, not only financially, but in terms of achieving its ESG goals. And now when it comes to assessing these sustainability reports, it's important to consider, one, how the performance is being measured, and two, what frameworks they're using to actually measure the impact and their performance in terms of ESG. because unlike with financial reports, there's no accounting standards available. And so every company may use a slightly different approach, and it's important to consider how reliable these approaches are before you make any investment decisions based on them. And now I think we do want to emphasize that financial return does not necessarily come at the price of impact of a given company, and vice versa. So, for example, just because a company is doing a lot in the ESG space does not necessarily mean that they will also generate a market or above market rate of financial return. And so when you're, I guess, setting your expectations, that's something to keep in mind. And in terms of the investing time frame, it is generally accepted that impact investments should be considered as part of a relatively longer investing timeframe, just because you're considering both the financial aspect of things and the impact side of things. So, for example, a lot of impact investments take many years to actually bring to fruition. And so before you make an impact investment decision, you need to keep in mind that your goals aren't going to happen overnight, and it's something that takes time, and you need to keep that in mind when setting expectations around choosing a suitable investing timeframe. So that sort of highlights some of the key factors when it comes to impact investing and what you sort of need to consider before you invest. And I think we did touch upon some of the whole expectation setting part of it. And now, just to sort of re-emphasize that, it is really important to set the right expectations before making any investment. And these expectations should really be based around your investment, financial, and impact return expectations, as well as your risk profile. So, for example, you know, really not investing in risky venture, say in Africa or in a developing country, when your risk tolerance is particularly low. There should always be that alignment there. And so I guess just to wrap things up, we thought it'd be great if we covered some of the do's and don'ts when it comes to impact investing. So, Lucy, why don't you, I guess, run us through some of that?
Yeah, I think you already touched upon a lot of it, but just to sum it up, a few suggestions that I have in terms of the things that you should be doing before impact investing is first to do your research and expect that there are going to be uncertainties when you do invest in a company. So keep monitoring and keep updated with the markets, check out the news, and do expect that results may vary according to different times, situations, mm-hmm. and different events. For example, on the current situation, you might be varying a lot for certain people. And yeah, just have those expectations beforehand will help a lot.
Definitely, yeah. And obviously, in terms of don'ts, is largely the opposite of the do's, but as with any investment, not expecting a guaranteed return, not rushing any investment decision before doing the necessary research. And I guess emphasizing that you can't always expect both a market rate of financial return and a strong social impact element as well. And I think not letting your emotions affect your investment decisions is always a very important thing to consider. Because as humans, we're emotional when we're driven by our emotions, but investing is a risky game, and it's important that you keep a level head where you can. And also, and most importantly, not investing more than you can afford to lose. So yeah, that's some of the key do's and don'ts when it comes to impact investing.
And you forgot one very important thing.
And what's that?
one of the important, if not most important, thing to do is to follow our podcast and our Instagram account, where we are going to be posting information related to impact investing and hope to help you along on your journey.
True, true. Yeah, how could I forget? We should have started with that one. But yeah, no, definitely following our podcast and Instagram account, we're always posting new content and hopefully helpful information to get you started on your impact investing journey. But yeah, I think that'll do it for this very first basics episode. Hopefully you found it interesting, and yeah, I guess we'll leave it at that, and yeah. See you next time.
See you. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you learned something new and enjoyed the episode as much as we did. While you're here, feel free to follow us on social media at our Instagram account, Grounds for Investing.
The Grounds for Investing podcast and the persons involved may have positions in the companies mentioned. This is general advice only. Please speak to a financial professional to understand how they pertain to your individual situation.